When Jesus began the Sermon on the Mount with these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the whole kingdom of heaven." He came to earth to give us the kingdom of heaven. And he told us there's only one type of person that can get it. The one who is poor in spirit. What is the most important requirement for fellowship? If I were to ask you, for fellowship between two brothers, what is the most important requirement? We'd say walking in the light. But you know, one brother can say, "Well, he's not walking in the light. That's the problem. I'm walking in the light, he isn't." What do you do then? Okay, then we move on to something else, say love. And this brother will say, "Well, I've got love, he doesn't have love." What do you do then? Or you say humility. And this brother says, "I'm humble, all right, but he's not humble." Where do you go from here? Holiness. I'm holy, he's not holy. And that broken fellowship remains. But when it comes to being poor in spirit, a man says, "I'm poor in spirit," but he's not. That proves he's not poor in spirit. Because a man who's poor in spirit is aware of his own need. That is the mark of a man who is poor in spirit. He is not aware of the need of others. He is aware of his own need. "Lord, I'm a needy person." His face is in the dust. If you read the book of Job, you have a classic example of this teaching. Job and his three preacher friends, they are saying, "This is why your God is punishing you. This is why you're sick. This is why your children died. They must have committed some secret sin." And every time Job saying, "No, no, no, it's not like that. You don't know. I've done this. I've cared for the widows. I've not made money my God. I don't even lust after women." And so many. Oh, each is back at. It reminds me of some brothers. Some husband and wife try to get them together. It's like this. It's like the book of Job. And some brothers try to get them together. It's like the book of Job. He's got an answer and he's got an answer and he's got an answer. And there's one young fellow called Elihu. He was better than the others. He said some good things. But he also couldn't solve the problem to Job. And then God said, "Let me speak now. All you preachers, shut up. Let me speak." And what does God say? Does God say, "See how holy I am"? No, no, no. There's not one word about his holiness. He asked Job, "Job, where were you when I created this universe? Where were you? Tell me. Can you make an alligator your pet?" These are the type of questions he asked Job. "Do you know where the snow comes from? Can you produce it?" Nothing about holiness. Not a word about holiness and sin or any such thing. We try to convict people about sin. And those preachers try to convict Job about his sin. No, 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 no. God has another way. His ways are so different from man's ways. The more you know God if you read the scriptures. You'll see his ways are different. And he says, and Job listens to all this. Not one word about Job's sin. It's all about how great God is. And every time God speaks, Job becomes smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Finally, he says in chapter 40, "Lord, I'm nobody." You know that's what he said? "I am a nobody." God said, "At last I have accomplished in Job what I have wanted to accomplish. To bring him to be a nobody." Turn to that verse. And that is the end result of God's working in Job. God is so full of compassion. What those preachers could not succeed in, Job finally said in Job 40 and verse 4, after he heard God speak about his greatness, "I am nothing." Job 40 verse 4, "I am nothing. I lay my hand on my mouth. I've spoken once. I will not answer. I will not justify myself anymore." When God can bring you to the place where you say, "Lord, I'm nothing. I will lay my hand on my mouth. I've got no answer. I will add nothing more." He has succeeded. Job was a perfect man in chapter 1. perfect according to the light he had. He had so many good things. He never lusted after women before the Bible was written. Don't you think he's a million times better than today's believers? He helped the poor. He didn't make money his God. All these things were there. But there was one thing Job lacked. He was proud of his righteousness. And I believe that is a problem with many of us. We have heard about victory over sin. We have experienced some victory in our life. And we have got many good qualities, but we are pretty proud about it. And the proof of it is, you get offended when you're not given prominence. And you justify yourself when you're corrected. God has to do a work in you like He did in Job. You're an excellent brother, excellent sister. Like Job was in chapter 1. But he was not a broken person in chapter 1. By the time you come to the end of that book, he's a broken man. And finally, in chapter 42, he says, O Lord, verse 46, I repent in dust and ashes. He put his mouth in the dust and said, I'm a nobody. I'm living in repentance, 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 repentance before you from now on. And God said, in verse 7, the last part, my servant Job has spoken what is right. Can the Lord say that about you? My servant, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, has spoken what is right. What is that? I am nothing. I am a nobody. I will not open my mouth and justify myself anymore. I shall from henceforth live with my face in the dust and ashes and in repentance and brokenness every day. That's what God is looking for.